I was a camp counselor over the summer. 3 days into the camp, we took the kids on a nighttime hiking trip into a nearby forested hill. There were 5 of us counselors and 15 kids, all around 12 to 14 years old. We only hiked for about an hour before coming across a clearing and setting up the fire. While it got dark, the forest wasn't exactly daunting. Safe to say, it was looking to be a pretty uneventful night. I should note that at one point during the hike, one of our counselors, Mike, went to go take a piss in the trees, coming back about 2 minutes later. The only peculiar thing about his occurrence was that he went relatively deep into the woods, probably further than he already needed to. He probably just wanted to make sure that they'd be absolutely out of sight beforehand. This would be important. As we started cooking up some s'mores, the counselors and campers began telling spooky stories. None of them really stood out. That was until Mike began telling his. "All right, I got a good one," he says. "So a group of counselors and campers go hiking one night at a summer camp." I rolled my eyes. He was going for that angle, but the kids seemed invested in it, so I just silently listened in. They go up a small hill, and then they sit down at a clearing and they begin telling campfire stories. Everything seemed normal until one story was interrupted by a sound in the woods. He paused for a second, and right on cue there was a rustle in some nearby trees. "Okay," I thought. That was slightly clever. The kids seemed extremely tense by this, but some of the other counselors were smiling, so I assumed that they were in on it. So one of the counselors gets up to go check it out. He then gestures to one of the female counselors, Amy. For a second, Amy looked confused, but Mike just gestured again. Eventually, she took the hint and got up, going towards where the sound occurred. She came back moments later, only to report that there was nothing. She still seemed confused, which caused me to question if she was really in on it or not. Mike went on. When the counselor came back, she said there was nothing there. But she was wrong. Mike smiled. Although it was a weird one, something subtly frightening about it, I could sense some genuine fear creeping up on some of the kids' faces as well. "There was a tension in the air," Mike went on. "Everybody could feel it, but nobody could describe it." I'm not sure if it was just a mental thing, but my skin prickled when he said that. The air around us did indeed feel like it had changed in some inexplicable way. Everybody else looked like they were experiencing something similar, while wrought with faces of discomfort. "Another sound came from the woods," he said. "This time, it was laughter, as unnatural as laughter can get." I nearly had a heart attack when it came from right behind me. Everybody sat still, all too afraid to look. And then they realized something. One of the kids was missing. That was the last straw for Andy, another counselor who stood up. "Mike, what the hell is this?" Mike didn't respond. Andy scanned the kids and went, "Somebody count them." He did as he asked, counting 14 kids in total. 14. "Oh, shit," Andy said. "What happened?" "I don't know," Claire, another counselor, spoke up. "I swear, we were keeping an eye on them the entire time." Andy turned to look at Mike. "The fuck is going on, Mike?" Mike smiled before continuing his story. "During the chaos, they heard footsteps coming from everywhere. Suddenly, a cacophony of heavy footsteps began sounding from every direction." "Jesus!" Claire shouted. "Mike, this is too far!" Andy shouted at him. The kids had begun huddling together, fear plastering across their faces. Mike's face suddenly became serious. "One of the kids was suddenly dragged into the woods, and Andy went to go chase after him. We heard a scream and turned around just in time to see one of the campers disappearing into the forest. I couldn't make out who or what had done it, though." "Fuck!" Andy yelled before going after him. Mike let out a cold laugh. "But Andy wouldn't be so lucky." Before I could do anything, Amy went after Andy as well. They were dating, leaving Claire and I alone with Mike. I got up, storming over to him, and punched him square in the jaw. For some reason, I thought that if I could get him to stop talking, all the shit that was going on would stop as well. Now, I'd say that I'm a pretty strong guy, and I'd put just about everything I had to that punch, but Mike barely reacted to it, even though the strike stung my own hand like hell. Mike glanced up at me, his face still stuck in that obscure grin. "The last 2 counselors." I turned the other way before he finished the sentence, rounding up the remaining campers and telling them to make a beeline out of there. Claire followed suit, and we began booking it out of the forest. We couldn't hear Mike, or whatever, following us. So I let myself breathe a bit. Still, I knew that this was going to be hard to explain once we got back. At some point, we saw a figure wandering out of the woods. I stopped in my tracks, not really knowing what to do. The figure groaned as it meandered its way into the moonlight. It was Mike? The actual Mike, I guess. His clothes were torn and his head was bleeding. His chest was also exposed with what looked like strange symbols carved into it. I don't remember exactly what it looked like. He looked up at us before asking, "What happened?" in a shaky voice. Before I could respond, he passed out. I began running over to him and stopped when I heard Claire scream. I turned around to see another camper being dragged out into the woods. "Fuck it," I muttered to myself, before yelling at the rest to keep going. We left Mike before bolting it the hell out of there. There was some more commotion behind us as we ran, with kids being dragged into the surrounding woods left and right. It couldn't have been helped. At a point, I could hear faint cackling coming from somewhere indistinct, but I knew who it was coming from. And when we finally made it down the hill, my lungs were about to collapse. I looked back, seeing that there was only one remaining camper, plus Claire left. Both exhausted and having the blood drained from our faces, we simply stared at each other. And then the kid began smiling. "The counselors had escaped, but that wasn't the end of their story," he said, in that same tone of voice that the fake Mike had been using. Upon hearing that, I lost it and began running, against my body's pleas to rest. I heard Claire once again screaming from behind me, but again, it couldn't be helped. When I got back to the main camp, I entered my cabin to see if my supervisor was there. He wasn't. I was about to go looking for him, but I was so tired that I had to rest first. I made my way over to the bed and plopped down, planning on simply staying there for a few minutes. But when I woke up, there was sunlight bleeding in through the curtains. Someone was shaking me awake. It was Blake, my supervisor. "Come on, man, get up. Time for breakfast. Go shower first, though. Jeez." "Wait," I said to him. I have to tell you something."
"Tell me after you shower," he said before leaving. I got up and I chased him into the dining hall. What I saw there made me freeze. All the counselors and the campers, the ones that had been on the hike, they were all there. Blake turned to face me. "What do you want to talk about? Where's Mike?" I quickly scanned for Mike. I had noticed that he wasn't there the first time. As I began stammering for an answer, the counselors and campers all turned to me simultaneously. That left me at a complete loss for words. I ran out of there, got straight into my car and floored it. I didn't let myself breathe until I got back on the highway. I didn't want to think about the aftermath, about the implications of leaving a situation like this. I reached into my glove compartment for a pack of smokes, but I felt my hand touch something that wasn't there before. A tape recorder. I pulled it out, and against my better judgment, pressed play. A grainy, familiar voice began oozing out of the device. The last counselor thought that he'd gotten away. But little did he know, our paths would soon cross again.
Times have been tough for me, so I haven't quite updated everything as I would have liked in the past couple of months. I'm finally getting back to the swing of things as my life continues to normalize. So I appreciate you guys sticking with me, and honestly, I see all of your comments and your support as I've been talking about what's been happening with me, and I want to tell you all thank you so much for that, because it's been rough, and seeing your support has been life-saving. So thank you all so much for it. And as always, I want to give a big thank you to everybody who supports me on Patreon. That includes everybody who's been waiting for me to update my Patreon, and I thank you all so, so much for being so patient with me. But especially, I want to give a thank you to Jordan Alexander Sanchez, Jacob Fenske, Stephanie Butler, Bobby Carmen, Chance Burnett, Diana Krause, Tristan Pelton, Acid System, Adam Garrick, Aaron Stormcrow, Ika Limchok, Amber Clark, Angelus, Atomarus, Bastion Beefcake, Blue the Enigma, Braden Morris, Broken Beast 320, Captain Scurvy, Caspian, Shelly J, Corey Kenshin, Cronut 509, Crusader Chocobo, Cryptic Nightmares, Curse Pox Primark, Dakota Lane Whetstone, Daniel Paulson, Darth Miver, Deleted Account, Dirt Diver 030, M, Esteban, Fester's Lampshade, Freddy Krueger, Gorag Tri Magazine, Grand Moth the Milky, Hades Nephew, Happy Birthday Jason Wilson, Harley, Himbo Jerry, Horseman Sect Time,
Insanity Gamer X, Jay Cairns, Jesus Corneo, Jordan Humble, Justin LaFontaine, Kaylee Ambrose, Kiwi the Sloth, Crazy Kid, Cryolinian, Lambda M98, Lisa Cottrell, Little Crow, Lord Life's Best, Lupita Galvin, Love You Eminem, Matt Bach, Melted Lake, Michael Allen Jr. Bashirs, Mike, Mr. Marcus Blitz, Nate Cull, Nico Kayo, Psychomel, Red Shadow Cat, Rob Like Sharp Things, Samahai, Sashi Suzaku, Seclude, Stricken, Tali Sue, Tater Chip, That Creepy Chick, The Ginger Bros, Turtle Man, Voice of Sand, William King, Xavier and Cheyenne, Yargul, and Zachary Graffius.
If you'd like to join this list of names that I horribly mispronounce, then please head over to patreon.com/MrCreepyPasta, or you can always check out the names in the description down below, and I appreciate it infinitely. So thank you all on Patreon. Thank you all so, so much. And to everyone, sweet dreams.